Welcome to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Welcome to the first weekend of summer. Hello, Mr. Rushforth, Mr. Napolitano.
Hello, Mr. Gregory, Mr.
John.
Mr. Neapolitano.
Mr. Who?
Neapolitano.
Hey, let's start off with an email I received last Saturday. It's like, how disappointing that you didn't wish the Father's Day a happy Father's Day. I did the birthdays, but somehow mothers are important. I don't think fathers are as important. So yeah. I apologize for that.
You know what? The funny thing is, most fathers didn't realize it was Father's Day.
Yeah, but you know what, Frankie? You're right, though. You're right. I had a lot of people say to me, hey, did you wish your dad happy Father's Day? I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot.
I know.
You know why we didn't remember? Because the mothers didn't remind us.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, if you're looking for air conditioning in a house, today's the day to search. My goodness.
Absolutely.
Going to be hot and stinky today.
It is going to be hot and sticky. And you know what? There's some people that this might be one of the first days that they've actually turned their air conditioning on. You want to see if your air conditioning works. If you're someone who purchased during the winter months or during the early spring months, you better hope your air conditioning works if you're turning it on today.
You know what? If I'm selling a house right now, I'm turning down the air conditioning as cool as it can go. So when somebody walks in, that great first impression is, ah.
And that is super important. It's not even just the air quality or the air temperature, also the smell. You want to make sure your house is smelling absolutely beautiful, and you want to make sure your house is comfortable. If you go into a house and they don't have their air on, and you walk in and you start sweating, you just want to get out of that house, and you know it's going to be a tough sell if you don't have your air on today.
But not a fake smell, right? Because you can be overpowering.
Yeah, you walk into a house that they put in some of those plug-in things, and it's like so overpowering. The question is, what are they trying to mask? Is that's what people ask? What smell are they masking? So an easy smell is you bake some cookies, you bake something like a pie, something that lingers in the air. That's the best thing you can do. Or something that actually my girlfriend.
Pasta sauce.
With lots of garlic.
You're Italian.
You know what?
Easy on the garlic, but pasta sauce. Beautiful smell.
Something my girlfriend did when we were selling our houses, which was really cool, is she put those little balls of
I don't know, but that's anyways, a bad place to stop, Paul.
Yes, it is.
they were downy balls, and she had them all over the house, and so it just had that nice airy smell to the house. So it was perfect.
Well, Dora will tell you to put lemons out, and it sells the house. So
yep.
There you go.
Yeah, it worked for my mother.
I did lemons too. My girlfriend put lemons out my house too. Yep, great minds think alike.
Now Dora's big secret is out—the lemon secret.
Yeah,
my mother's house sold like almost overnight because the lemons were there. I guarantee you it was the lemons.
Were there, yeah.
Where are we at for listings, Mr. Rushforth?
Oh, we're starting to creep up there. We're just under 3,000 listings right now, and actually 2,874. So we're creeping up. I think it was last week or the week before. There was only in the low twos, so we're definitely creeping up. In the last 7 days, there's been 840 homes listed and only 417 sell. So double the amount of listings than there is to sales, which is quite high.
Did we even hit 3,000 last year?
I don't remember hitting 3,000. I could be wrong. I'll have to go back and look at my stats, but I don't remember hitting 3,000. We might have when we came near the August, September, when we started to slow, July, August, September, we started to slow down a little bit. But yeah, the numbers are definitely creeping up. I'm interested to see what happens when the numbers come out for the end of this month. Where we are for number of sales and our average sale price, because listings by week have increased, sold properties have decreased, and the average sale prices remain pretty much stagnant. So it's we're back to a pre-pandemic normal market. The problem is we've been treated to such a crazy market for the last 2 years. This feels like it's a drop, like it's a huge drop, but it's not. It's just a normal market. We've been cheating for 2 years, and now we're just normalizing.
Yeah, but it's like winning the lottery and then going back to your salary. You still have the lottery winnings. You know, all these, the home prices that have gone up so much over the last 2 years, you still have that.
You do. And that's why I keep reminding people, like, guys, if you would have sold 2 years ago, your house would have been worth X. And they're like, oh, so don't worry that we're a little stagnant right now. You've already made, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 over the last 2 years on your property, which is unprecedented. So, don't panic out there. The market is definitely shifted, not shifting, it's shifted. You know, in some areas we're teetering toward almost towards a balanced slash buyer's market in some areas. And in other areas, it's just a hot, hot market. So we're just normalizing. It's just going to be a normal market, and it's actually good. This is where realtors earn their money. This is where you need the best to get your home sold and to purchase the right home, because it's a challenging market right now.
Not only listings are up, so are interest rates, eh, Frank?
Interest rates are up, but I'll tell you, I mean, talking about the price of homes, Paul, I mean, you know, people just enjoyed the last 2 years. If you were a homeowner, like, it was awesome to see your neighbor sell for X amount, because all of a sudden you value your home there. And then we do get a little down when we see that those prices stabilize or maybe come down a little bit. We get down, but look at how crazy it is. I had one of my staff members excited yesterday that she saw gas at $1.91. All of a sudden, you're excited to pay $1.91 for gas. It doesn't make any sense.
You line up.
When it comes
to
interest rates, fixed rates, you line up. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense. Where a year ago, it was $1.15. So, I mean, it's amazing the way the human mind works that way and the way we could get manipulated real quickly. But on the interest rate, again, so many people are shocked that rates are where they're at, because it's happened so gradually and so in such small increments
and quietly
that so many are so surprised, very quietly. So many are so surprised when they're getting the renewal notices, and like, they cannot believe that they're getting renewal notices in the very high fours or low fives for a 5-year fixed, and they're coming off high twos, low threes. So it's a big shot to them. And you know, we're bombarded right now with phone calls. What should we do? It's a tough call, because as much as I believe that variable is the smart decision, it's not for everyone still. So they're stuck having to make a decision. Now, the problem is that generally speaking, it used to be that if you got a 1-year mortgage, it was considerably less than a 5-year mortgage. The problem is that the 1- and 2-year mortgages aren't priced that much lower than the 5-year mortgage. So it makes it more difficult for someone to stomach the fact that maybe I'll take a 1 or 2 year, because I think 1 or 2 years from now, the rates will be lower. But what if they're not? What if they're higher? What if this trend continues? And it just makes it very difficult for people to make decisions, especially ones that are scared of a variable rate mortgage. They just need that peace of mind knowing that their payment is set. So, you know, one way around it, and I've said to clients, listen, if the set payment on your new 5-year, and you need it to have a 5-year, and the interest rate is 5%, and you were accustomed to 3%, and now your payment's gone up $300, increase your amortization. It's not what you want to do from a standpoint of you'd like to pay off your mortgage sooner. But then I use the same thing that Paul just talked about. 2 years ago, your house was worth $600. Today, it's worth $850. It's okay if you increase the amortization by 5 years and try to keep your payment similar to what it is now. Nothing wrong with that. You're still up that $250,000 that you would have never, ever have imagined your house would be up in value 2 years ago.
Well, plus you can pay it down as well, right? You come in with some money, you can just drop a chunk on it.
Of course. But with inflation today, that's why I'm recommending it. Listen, I think people have, you know, a lot of Canadians have a goal to pay off their mortgage as quickly as possible, but not at the expense of living a life full of stress. Especially with inflation on everything else these days, I think it makes sense to keep your payments where they are. If you could increase the amortization, it might cost you. The bank may say you can't do it without us having to re-register the mortgage. So re-register the mortgage. If it costs $500 or $600 through title insurance, you make the decision as to whether that's a worthwhile expense for you and whether it's more important for you to lower your payments by $300 a month, but have a comfortable lifestyle. You need to make that decision.
What kind of jumps are people facing? $300, $400, $500 a month? People that had mortgage rates in the twos?
Well, it depends on the mortgage amount, right? Now, again, people that have mortgages that are maturing today are based on the values that were 5 years ago. And the average house 5 years ago was probably in the threes or fours. So their mortgages may be in the twos or threes. So relatively speaking to today, somebody buying today, their payments are fairly, you know, small in comparison to somebody buying a brand new house today. What these high interest rates have done, they've really eliminated first-time home buyers right now. It's just almost impossible for a first-time home buyer not only to qualify, but just to make ends meet buying a new townhouse in the $600,000 to $700,000 range with 5% down. The payments are, you know, range of $3,000 to $3,500 a month, and for many, that's just too big of a ticket you know, for their first home. So they're just sitting back and continuing to rent in the $2,000 to $2,200 a month range and hoping that interest rates come down.
There was an interesting article the other day. I think it was in, might have been the Globe and Mail. They're talking about renters in Toronto. They did a survey or a poll with renters in Toronto, and more than 50% of them said they are renters for life. And to be honest with you, it's flip-flop where it's actually cheaper to rent right now. So there's a lot of renters who are like, why would I go get that townhouse and have a $3,500 a month payment where I can get a townhouse and rent it for $2,200, $2,400, you know? And the rents are on the rise, though. I said this last week, the rents are on the rise. A simple townhouse in suburbia now is no longer in the low 2000s. It's creeping up to the mid 2000s now. So
what a market shift.
It was just 3 years ago, you can rent a townhouse for $1,500, $1,500. That's how much it's changed.
Yeah.
Huge shift.
Yeah.
521 talk, 521-8255. Hey, guess what? I can't believe this. It's sunny out, and a guy named Mike is calling in. We'll get to him when we come back.
Don't answer him, Steve.
We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
It's always a special treat when we're joined by Mick Hapke.
I love it. Mick, I see what you done there.
It's me, Mick Hapke.
How are you, Mike?
I thought I'd call in and speak to all of your three listeners today because I'm sure nobody's listening. Everybody's outside. So. And here I am in a rink. And if I'm sitting in the parking lot, I thought I'd come out and.
You're in a rink? You're in a rink on a day
I'm
like this.
I'm in a rink today. Junior A combine over at. Where the heck are we? Steve Eiserman Arena there. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I figured you weren't at the cottage because you called in.
Well, exactly. But listen. I mean, you know, what better time to get out in front and talk to people when there's so much volatility in the market, right? I mean, now's the time. Like, now's the time when people are recognizing and seeing the value in Advanced Mortgage Investment Corp. I mean, this is what we're geared for. We're geared for volatility. We are geared for uncertainty. Right? I mean, how do you fight inflation at 7.7%? What do you do? You put it under your mattress, you're going backwards.
Oh, you stop spending.
You know what? Absolutely. You need to curb some of the discretionary spending. But how do you combat it? So that's, you know.
Yeah, you better invest wisely these days, huh?
You got it. That's exactly it. You need to make a return. Because the only way to offset the 7.7 and or greater that's coming is to have a steady return.
Right? And the irony is your return has been in the 7% area.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. So, you know, on a monthly basis, we return as an annualized rate at 5% per month. And then when we do our top up at the end of the year, which is August 31st, our fiscal year end is August 31st. And that's when we finalize the top up amount. And it normally takes us to mid sevens. And that's where we anticipate being. In fact, going into next year, because the interest rates are going up now, we actually anticipate that rate of return might, you know, be over 7.5. So those are projections, but we think we can do it. You know, we're in the best real estate market in North America. And the reason why it's the best real estate market is because we have the most stable employment. You know, that's the reason. You have to be able to block out all of the white noise now and look at fundamentals, go back to basics, go back to data, you know, and actual facts versus fiction. And right now, if we're just reading the headlines, it'll scare the heck out of you, right? Because the sky is falling. You know, there's nowhere to hide. It's coming for you. You know, the inflation, possibly recession. But you need to look at the data and where we live and where we operate, all of us, is a very stable market. Go back, Paul, you know this, the past 65 years, Ottawa has had 5 years where we actually went lower in terms of values than where we were the year prior. And if you add up all of those 5 years, even those 5 years just equate to 10%. In 65 years.
Hey, Mike, explain the top up, Mike. What's the top up? What's that mean?
Yeah, so the top up, basically what happens is we generate a rate of return because of the quality of mortgages that we write is very high. It turns over very quickly. So we generate part of our return on the interest rate that we charge on the mortgage, but we also generate it on fees. So the key is to turn it over very quickly. So what happens throughout the year is we continue to generate more and more fees. So by the end of the year, we actually, once we do the audited financials, that's when we post the top-up amount. And that amount typically takes us to mid-sevens. And that's always been our goal. And that's where we've been consistently at. And we don't anticipate any changes. We still, I mean, you know, the market that we work in, like, I don't want to pretend that nobody's going to be affected with a mortgage, because certainly some people will. People that don't have discretionary spending now and are maybe on the line, but those aren't the people that we lend to. So that's not in our portfolio. Our portfolio is extremely clean, no delinquencies, you know, very few NSF payments on a monthly basis. And so zero mortgages in default.
Mike, the question I get asked a lot is, do I have to lock in my money? And if I do, for how long?
No. So we do not have a lockup period, but there is a redemption notice. So if you did want to redeem, we do need a little bit of time, simply because for our investors, we always want to be fully deployed on a regular basis. So we're always committing to new deals. So what happens is, whatever quarter you give us the redemption notice in, we have up until the following quarter to make that redemption. So having said that, normally it happens a lot quicker. But, you know, sometimes, for example, right now it's the end of the year where we're really pushing. We're really trying to grind out the best rate of return that we can for all of our investors. You know, I don't want to be taking, I'll take a redemption notice, but we would follow kind of the redemption policy, if you will, right? So, because, you know, less money I have that I'm working for my clients, the less money, the less opportunity to generate fees. So,
But you're not hanging on to my money for a year, 2 years, 5 years, right?
No. I mean, think about that, right? I mean, like, even if you wanted to get, let's say, 2.5% or 3%, you'd probably have to lock that up for, you know, 5+ years at the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas we don't do that. No lock-in period, just the redemption policy. But, you know, that's the thing right now. Like, you can't just, you know, turtle and hide. You have to be proactive. You have to think about, what are you going to do to combat inflation? Yes, of course, Frank, you're going to curb your discretionary spending. You're going to, you know, keep a little tighter. But now, how are you going to actually combat it? So you're going to, you know, save a little more money. Perfect. Great. But now I have to try to offset that. And you don't do it by going into equities and hoping for the best. That's not where you want to be right now. So, you know, this is where we shine. You know, this is our time to shine, is what I say. And there's great opportunity for continued growth, even in a, you know, softening market.
Do you have any real estate agents investing with you?
I didn't take long. I do, actually. If not the one that might be on the phone right now. But anyway. But I think he will. I think he will. In terms of, right now is really, it's our opportunity to really show what we're made of. And you know, now our investors, like, you know, the other thing is, we get out in front of them constantly, because we want to make sure that they fully understand. I mean, it's easy for people to invest when times are great and it's no big deal, but you want to make sure that you're having the conversations and you're having the dialogue and working with the people that are actually making the investments and understand the investments. And that's the difference right now, right? So, I mean, people are obviously spooked by the equities markets and the financial markets, and there's still some room for movement there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we needed this. We needed an increase in interest rates to slow things down. I mean, Paul will tell you, Frank will tell you, you know, the market that we are working in is not normal. It's not normal. And, you know, all of us in this business wanted it to slow down. You know, we want it to start to see, normalize the interest rates. In fact, you know, it was probably too easy for some real estate agents to even sell the home, you know, where the good quality ones are saying, well, you know, anybody can sell in this market. But it really takes the good quality real estate agents to sell in a more balanced market. And so this is welcome. To me, this is a welcome sight. I know there's some pain points there to get to that balanced market, but, you know, we got to go through this wall in order to get to the other side.
So, how do we go ahead and find out more about this, Mike?
You know what? You can contact us. Check us out online at advancedmic.com, or 274-0055 is the phone number. Give us a call. I mean, check us out online. You can do an inquiry through there, but now's the time to be proactive. it's not the time to sit and be idle. And that's what I would, you know, try to advise the three people that are listening today, that now is the time. So,
hey, listen, just
as I turn around and go back into a hockey rink.
Just before we go to the break, what do you guys think the odds are that Frank would ever reduce his discretionary spending?
Yeah, you know what? You know, Frank, honestly, most of Frank's spending is charitable. I got to be honest with you. The guy gives a ton to charity. I'm like, geez, how much did we give again?
Yeah,
it's awesome.
He has.
It's always like,
he has blindsided you a few times, eh, Mike?
Well, I can tell you one thing. He's never given it to the charity of Paul Rushforth for breakfast. That's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Enjoy the hockey.
Thanks, guys.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
Turn to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Frank Napolitano, Paul Rushforth here. Hey, Paul, I want to ask you, the last couple of years, through all the crisis and all, many people moved to the suburbs. Now, with the price of gas, are we going to see people move back closer to downtown?
Well, we knew that was going to be a challenge, right? Like, we knew that people were moving to the outskirts because they can work from home. They don't have to commute to the office. You know, gas was cheap. The prices out there were cheaper. And now we're seeing other people having to come back to the office. We're seeing people having to commute. Gas is going through the roof. So, yeah, we might see people who've moved to the outskirts come back into the core or into suburbia, maybe not just the core, but into suburbia. So it's really, really hard to tell what's going to happen. But it's a good point, Steve. And we mentioned that, too. During the pandemic, when everyone was moving out, we were saying, like, when this is over, eventually people are going to have to go back to the office. Eventually.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but eventually most people are going back to the office. What's that going to mean when they have to go back to the office? Are they going to move back in? And just with the price of gas coupled with that, it's a tough commute every day. I mean,
well, and prices in the suburbs went up at a pretty good clip, and now the gap seems to be closing between suburbs and downtown, right?
It is. Yeah, it really is. We went through the outskirts went up actually quicker than what the core of the city went up. So, and that, yeah, the gap is starting to close a little bit as well, for sure.
So what do you see in the future? Do you see people trying to move back, or do you see, I mean, this is like, there's eight balls in the air at this point.
To be honest with you, I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. Builders are building at a feverish pace in the outskirts of Ottawa right now. I mean, you go into anywhere into Embrun, Limoges, Armpryor, Pakenham, all those areas, you have the big track builders who are building out there. And the reason they're building out there is affordability and people moving out there. So it's a sign the builders do their homework. If we start seeing builders pop up in all these different communities, we know that action is going on there and people are moving there. So I don't think we're going to see people moving back. Eventually gas has got to come down a little bit. We can't keep paying, you know, two something a liter, as Frank said earlier on the show, a bargain of $1.91 a liter. Like it has to come down at some point.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. So we might see the trend. We might see the trend of moving to the outskirts continue. And I really think we will see that.
So who's buying single family homes these days?
Well, you single family homes now, I mean, they're starting, some builders are starting in the millions now for a single family home.
But yeah, but who's buying them? What age group are we looking at?
You're still looking at move up buyers who are buying them. So, you know, people are moving out of their first townhome, but you're looking at people in their 40s, 50s, 60s who are buying the single homes now. Very hard to be a first time home buyer and buy a single home. It's almost impossible because of what they're starting at and what they're going for. I mean, resale market, a single family home, I mean, you find anything in the sevens, it's probably a three-bedroom, three-bathroom, and tiny, right? So it's
and way out of town, right?
And potentially way out of town, yeah, for sure.
Condos are still it for first-time home buyers, Frank?
Well, I think it's the most affordable property to get into, at least. They're still in the fours. You can get something in the fours.
Well,
The trick is trying to find the right location.
It is affordable, and it's not, depending on the article you sent last week that I read, where you've got to make sure that these places are maintained.
You got to make sure that your lawyer has to make sure that the stat deck is on point. Basically, you know, there has to be a good reserve, a fund, should a major renovation be required. Otherwise, you're going to be on the hook for it. So, you know, that's the challenge, is finding a condo in the fours, you know, reasonably priced, with reasonably priced condo fees, and more importantly, a really solid reserve fund and a building in relatively good shape.
Especially if they're 20 or 30 years.
You might be setting yourself up for disaster.
Yeah, especially if they're 20 or 30 years old, right?
The biggest issue with condos right now is the condo fees they're charging for new condos are always underfunded. So what happens is you go into that condo and you're like, okay, I'm going to pay $400,000 for this condo. My fees are going to be $250,000. I can afford that. And then all of a sudden, the fees go up to $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. It's because they're always underfunded. I don't know who's doing those studies to begin with, but they need to have the condo fees even higher so you don't have that sticker shock when they do raise
them. But, Paul, they base those on 30 years. So the first 20 years in a condo, you're not going to have much maintenance.
No.
It's after that first 20 years, then those prices are going to go up. So they should have those prices higher from the get-go.
From the get-go, they should have them higher. They really should. They're underfunding them right now. But yeah, when you look at some of the older condos, when you're buying an older condo, you have to take a look at what's happening in the next 5 years. And usually the condo study comes out. It's a five-year plan. So you know in year three, if they're going to be, you know, removing decks and fixing this and doing this and doing that, you know that. So make sure you're studying that reserve fund. And you know what? In the heyday of this market over the last 2 years, there were some people that were going in with condos, not even seeing the status certificate. Ooh. They were just going in firm because they had to go in and they had to go in quick, right? But what we were doing is most of the agents that were listing those condos, we were actually ordering the status certificates so we could actually have it accessible for anyone once they wanted to put an offer on the property.
Does it show what's in reserves or does it also show what maintenance has been done, say, in the last 10 or 15
both,
years?
Both. It'll show what they're anticipating for work coming up in the next 5 years, what they've done, and how much is in the reserve fund. So you know if there's $200,000 in the reserve fund, but all the decks have to be redone in the next 5 years, you know that 200 grand is not going to cover all that. So you know eventually you're going to get hit with a special assessment or some sort of rise in condo fees. So,
and some of those can be like 10, 15, 20, 30 grand. What do you do in that situation? Do you have to pay the money or move out?
Steve, I've seen 50 grand. Like I've seen like total chaos. I mean, some condos on, I believe it was Southgate. You know, these were people who were, you know, not very wealthy. I mean, they're sort of a lower end type of condominium and their condo fees doubled 1 year and they had to increase them by, I can't remember what the number was. Let's say it was 20 grand. Not a lot of people in that condo can afford a 20 grand plus increase in their condo fees. And that made that building unsellable.
Yeah.
Because no one wanted to buy in that building knowing the condo fees are up to a grand a month and you have a $20,000 fee to pay. So it was really tough. Buying in a condo, you have to do your due diligence. You just have to, because you're at the mercy of what the condo fees are going up to and what work needs to be done. You're at the mercy of that. And it's, you know, at least in your house, you know when the roof needs to be done and you're doing your own roof. You know when this needs to be done, but you're living with 100, 200, 300 people in a building and you're all chipping in for all the expenses. It's tough.
So Frank, what happens if you can't afford that 20 or 30 grand? You have to move out?
You don't have a choice. You can borrow. I mean, you can go out and borrow that money if you can. You can renegotiate your mortgage, refinance your mortgage if you can. Again, keep in mind that lenders will look at it cautiously at that point because they know there's an issue with the condo building. So, you know, they have no choice but to be very careful on. They'll want to do, excess. They'll want the status report. So they'll want to see the status certificate. They'll do a little more digging into it to make sure that they want to take that additional risk. Because, as Paul will tell you, the good chance that condo value will likely come down if there's a special assessment attached to it. You know, the one time is one thing, but if now the condo fees have gone from $250 to $450, well, the likelihood is that it devalues that condo, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because less people can afford it, less people want to buy it, you know, knowing that the condo fees have increased there. And what other work has to be done? You know, if they've increased there for a certain job, is something else ready to go that they're going to increase again? And that's why I say you're kind of at the mercy of the condo corp, really. It's and the mercy of the age of the building. So just do your due diligence if you're buying an older condominium.
Boy, you better have a good agent that knows what they're talking about for condos.
You better have that. You better have someone who's really knowledgeable in that. Absolutely. You know what, Steve? The nice thing about this market is you now, the cream of the crop rise to the top is, you know, I know it's a cliche saying, but the cream of the crop rise to the top. And this is where you find out if your realtor is a really good realtor or just an average realtor, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a challenge. I mean, trying to find a home in this market, well, I mean, even though there's more listings on the market, but trying to find that right home and get it for the right price. Cause you know, our strategy used to be, you got to go 100,000 over asking.
Yeah.
Now our strategy is we may be able to get this for 10,000 under asking. So you need someone who's super knowledgeable. You need someone who is abreast and up to date with the market, like knows what's going on, what's changing, how quick it's changing. And on the selling side, you know what? We actually have to market properties again. You know, like it's not just selling overnight. We actually have to do we put our whole full marketing plan into place because homes are, I mean, the other day I looked at an area that had 20, I wouldn't say comparables, but 20 single family homes between, let's say, you know, 600 and a million. So it's not really comparables, but there was 20 properties in that range and 15 or 16 of them had price reduction arrows on them.
Wow.
So it's you need someone who knows what they're doing in today's market.
And it's not going to get busier in the next month or two, is it?
No, it's not.
Hey, Paul, have the listing today and offers a week from Tuesday, have those gone away now pretty well, or are they still around?
Long gone. And here's the thing, though.
They are.
Certain areas, they're not gone. But most people are just listing normal listings nowadays. That they're not holding offers because they're just not good. I went on one the other day that was holding offers on showing time. We can see how many showings are coming up on this property. And it was day one on the market. It had no showings on it. It had nothing registered.
Yeah, they're holding offers, all right.
Apparently, they're holding showings.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Frank, I guess we're not hearing the words early renew much anymore, are we?
No, I mean nobody's going to early renew, although there are banks out there that are calling their customers 6 months in advance.
This is what I was going
to tell
telling
clients that they should renew now because rates are going to go up. And I say to clients, well, that's okay. Time to lock in the rate and do it on renewal day. It's like they don't give me that option. They say, I got to give up my 2.59 now to lock in at 5.1 because they say that it might be 5.5. And what should I do? Kind of thing. So it just,
you'd be crazy.
It bothers
me
when,
right?
I think so. If that's the case, you got to say to your bank, well, then I'm going to go somewhere else. I'll get them to, secure a rate for me for the next 120 days. And I'm going to keep this rate and then I'm going to leave you. If rates go up, then I have no incentive to stay with you because you're not going to be able to give me as good a rate. So I'll go somewhere else. But the bank will actually make you do that work because they don't care. They're all about profit. Remember, I mean, most of them are all profit driven. So they won't. What they should be doing is saying, all right, we'll lock this rate in for you. And 4 months from now, when your mortgage matures, we'll put you in this rate. But they don't do that. They force you to do it now. So the other thing, the elephant in the room is always that, you know, that report that came out about 10 days ago where 40% of Canadians, are the payments are going to go up 40%, you know, when the maturity comes up. You got to remember that over the last 2 years, as much as we've seen real estate prices go up tremendously, the other thing that we've seen is a lot of people refinance, take advantage of the lower rates. So there's a huge chunk of Canadians right now, the biggest chunk ever, that over the last 2 years, either when they bought or when they refinance, they still got another 2, 3, 4 years left at ultra low interest rates. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, those people are sleeping very well right now, obviously, because they're looking at what's going on with rates, but they really don't have anything to worry about for the next 2, 3, or 4 years. So,
but they've also had
on
to
their
qualify
part,
at,
I mean, hopefully.
They've had to qualify at the rates we're at today.
Sure they did, but you qualified those rates is one thing and having to pay those rates is something different. And now what we're seeing is anybody that unfortunately their mortgage is up for renewal today, they're having to not only qualify at 2% more than what the qualifying rate is. That's the other thing, by the way. I think maybe we're going to see financial services or OSFI relook, and it's in December. They might look at that stress test and maybe eliminate it with rates at the peak because the whole intention of that stress test was to make sure that the clients were prepared if rates were to go up the way they have right now. But if they feel that rates have peaked, then I think there's an argument to be made where maybe get rid of that stress test for now anyway, and just qualify them at the going rate and have the ability to be able to, re-add it back in if rates started to go down.
Paul, you're not seeing anybody panic selling, are you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm sure there's people, realtors out there telling him to sell now, the market's going to crash, and it's not crashing. It's not crashing, guys. I mean, we're going to have, you know, crash, no, correction, yes. We are going to just stabilize and probably be going through a flat market going forward for potentially the next couple of years. But you took advantage of what happened over the last 2 years already. So don't panic about that. If you don't need to, I mean, if you have to sell, you have to sell. If you don't have to sell, people aren't selling. But it's not, I mean, we're just going to be back in a normal market, like I said earlier, pre-pandemic, where you could put conditions in, which Frank has always said he loves having that home inspection in there, which I agree. So you're now able to put some conditions in, maybe negotiate a little bit on price. Certain areas, no, it's still a hot market, but in a lot of areas now, it's back to just a normalized market, which is not a bad thing at all.
Oh, about time it turns around for buyers. They get a bit of a break. They haven't had a break in a couple of years. Now there's less competition. They have at least a chance to take their time and look and find something they really want.
You know who's going to struggle?
Except for interest rates suck now. So they finally have a chance to be able to say, all right, I can, you know, sleep on it and then make an offer on a house. But then they look at what the interest rates are and it's like, oh man, like I wish, you know, but unfortunately it doesn't come together.
Yeah, well, that's when they call you.
It is nice though, seeing buyers have a little more choice and opportunity and can breathe a little bit. I had one of my newer agents who said, oh my God, is it always going to be like this? My buyers are so grumpy. They can't get the house. I'm losing offers. I said, no, don't worry. One day sellers are going to be grumpy at you. And we're starting to get into the point where sellers get a little bit grumpy if their house is not selling and buyers have a little more opportunity. So I said, don't worry. Our market will flip very soon. Just wait.
And it doesn't take long, does it?
No, it took, honestly, like we peaked in March. In March, our average sale price was at April, $738,000. And then as soon as April was over, it just like flat,
yeah,
absolutely just, flat.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
That's why anybody that thinks they can predict the market, forget about
they
it.
They can't. Nope. They can't.
Not these days. Birthdays, no. Frank?
Nope.
No birthday.
Yeah, got a few. My little sister celebrating her birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday to my sis Maria. Eleni and Andrew Malhero from my office celebrated their birthday this week. Good family friend Cole celebrating his birthday from A to Z Property Maintenance. So happy birthday to Cole as well. And happy Canada Day to all. I know we're going to be on the day after Canada Day. So hope everyone enjoys the nice long weekend that's coming up.
Paul?
I just have one, Corey Olson, one of my great agents, 9 years with me today.
So nice.
Happy Corey. And happy Canada Day. Unfortunately, I will be relaxing next week, so Dora will be filling in for me. So have a great show.
Unfortunately,
I'm buying breakfast again.
Wait,
great.
Wait. Unfortunately, for who?
For who?
Have a great week, guys.
Have a great weekend, everyone.